Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the February 11th meeting of the San Francisco County Transportation Authority Board. I'm Myrna Melgar, in service chair of this board. I'm joined by our vice chair, Danny Sauter. Thank you to Jaime Echeverri from SFGov TV for helping us broadcast this meeting. And our clerk today is Amy Sayoung. Madam Clerk, would you please call the roll?
Commissioner Chan. Chan absent. Commissioner Chin. Chin present. Commissioner Dorsey. Dorsey present. Commissioner Ingordio. Ingordio present. Commissioner Fielder. Fielder present. Commissioner Mahmood. Mahmood present. Commissioner Mandelman. Mandelman absent. Chair Melgar.
Present.
Melgar present. Vice Chair Sauter. Sauter present. Commissioner Sherrill. Sherrill present. Commissioner Walton. Walton present. Chair Melgar, we have quorum.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Before calling the next item, as chair, I'd like to invoke Rule 3.26 from the Rules of Order to limit total public comment per item to 30 minutes for today's meeting. Each speaker will have 2 minutes to speak on any given item. Madam Clerk, will you please call the next item?
Chair Melgar, may I make a public comment?
Yes, please.
For members of the public interested in participating in this meeting, we welcome your attendance here in person in the Legislative Chamber, Room 250 in City Hall, or you may watch cable channel 26 or 99, depending on your provider, or stream the meeting live at sfgovtv.org. For those wishing to make public comment remotely, the best way to do so is by dialing 415-655-0001, and when prompted, entering access code 26614530727, and then press pound and pound again. You will be able to listen to the meeting in real time. When public comment is called for the item you wish to speak on, press star 3 to be added to the queue to speak. Do not press star 3 again or you will be removed from the queue. When the system says your line is unmuted, the live operator will advise you that you are allowed 2 minutes to speak. When your 2 minutes are up, we will move on to the next caller. Calls will be taken in the order in which they are received. Best practices are to speak slowly, clearly, and turn down the volume of any televisions or radios around you. Public comment for items on this agenda will be taken first from members of the public in attendance in the legislative chamber, and then afterwards from the remote speakers queue on the telephone line. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Madam Clerk. Now please call item number 2.
Item 2, approve the minutes of the January 28th meeting. This is an action item.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Colleagues, are there any questions or comments about the minutes? And if not, may I have a motion to approve the minutes? Motion by Fielder, second by Dorsey. Thank you so much. Let's go to public comment on this item, please, Madam Clerk.
Checking for public comment. There is no public comment.
Okay, public comment on this item is now closed. There's no comment here at the chambers. Let's take the roll on this, please, Madam Clerk.
Okay, on the motion to approve item 2, Commissioner Chan.
Aye.
Chan, aye. Commissioner Chin.
Aye.
Chin, aye. Commissioner Dorsey.
Aye.
Dorsey, aye. Commissioner Ingordio.
Aye.
Ingordio, aye. Commissioner Fielder.
Aye.
Fielder, aye. Commissioner Mahmood.
Aye.
Mahmood, aye. Commissioner Mandelman. Mandelman, absent. Chair Melgar.
Aye.
Melgar, aye. Vice Chair Sauter.
Aye.
Sauter, aye. Commissioner Sherrill.
Aye.
Sherrill, aye. Commissioner Walton.
Aye.
Walton, aye. There are 10 ayes. The motion is approved.
Thank you so much, Madam Clerk. Let's go to item number 3, please.
Item 3, Community Advisory Committee report. This is an information item.
Okay, we have Chair Kat Siegel, CAC Chair, to give the CAC Director's report.
Hi, good morning, Chair Melgar, Vice Chair Sauter, and Commissioners. At our January meeting, the CAC voted to support the Prop L allocations for 5 requests that you'll also be considering today. The 2025-2026 Transportation Fund for Clean Air Local Expenditure Criteria, and the State and Federal Advocacy Program. On the latter item, members reiterated concerns from several previous meetings about the difficulty in getting safety data reporting from autonomous vehicles. We also had two high interest information items that generated a lot of discussion. The first was a detailed update on the state of the regional transportation revenue measure that several members, including myself, had requested. Members were very interested in the dynamics of why some counties have opted out of the regional measure, the obstacles to the so-called hybrid scenario, and how a citizen initiative might be staffed and funded. The other information item was the biking and rolling plan update. Our District 10 representative, Vice Chair Daniels, thanked SFMTA for being so engaged with partners in the Bayview, particularly given past harmful transportation planning decisions in D10, and stressed her concern about the agency following through on its commitments to the community through this plan. Several members also gave feedback that they'd like to see street grade factor more heavily into the network design and more protected bike infrastructure proposed, including on residential streets in particular. And finally, during new business, quite a few members expressed disappointment about recent traffic violence incidents involving extreme speeds, several pedestrian fatalities that have already occurred this year, and the 42 traffic fatalities the city recorded last year, which is the highest since 2000, despite 2024 being the original Vision Zero target year. Members requested that relevant city agencies come present to the CAC and have an open-ended and frank discussion about better strategies to end traffic violence. Thanks so much, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you so much, Chair Siegel. Any questions, commissioners? If not, Madam Clerk, let's go to public comment on this item.
There is no public comment.
Okay, there's no public comment in the chamber either, so public comment is now closed. Let's go to item number four, please, Madam Clerk.
Item four, appoint Jerry Levine as the District 2 representative to the Community Advisory Committee. This is an action item.
Thank you so much. I understand Commissioner Cheryl would like to say a few words before we hear from Mr. Levine. Okay, sure. Senior Program Analyst, Ms. Wally. Thank you.
Hi, good morning, Commissioners. Amelia Wally, Senior Program Analyst at the TA. The Transportation Authority has an 11-member Community Advisory Committee, with each member serving a two-year term. The board appoints individuals to fill any open seats, with each of the 11 commissioners nominating one member to the committee. Neither staff nor the CAC make recommendations on appointments. There's one open seat requiring board action today, which is District 2, due to the term expiration of the prior representative. Commissioner Cheryl has indicated that he'd like to nominate the prior representative, Jerry Levine, for the position. And with that, I'm happy to take any questions. Otherwise, we do have Mr. Levine here in person to speak to his interest and qualifications for the position.
Thank you so much, Ms. Wally. Okay, now, Commissioner Cheryl, I'll turn it over to you.
I just want to thank you, Chair Melgar, and the CFTA staff for helping to schedule and hear this item today. And I'm extremely grateful to you, Jerry, for wanting to continue in this role and extend your service not only to District 2, but to all of San Francisco. Jerry has now served as the District 2 representative to the County Transportation Authority's Citizen Advisory Committee for over 5 years. And beyond his time serving on the CAC, he's extraordinarily well-traveled. It's brought lessons learned from other cities back home to San Francisco to help guide our transportation vision, both near-term and long-term. I'm honored that you want to continue to give back to our district. Jerry, I look forward to continuing to partner with you now and during the very important work ahead. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Cheryl. Madam Clerk, let's go to public comment on this item.
There is no public comment.
Okay, my notes are different. Okay, I'm sorry. Commissioner Cheryl, did Mr. Levine want to say a few words?
Yes, seems to be the answer to that.
Okay, thank you.
I'm Jerry Levine. Actually, it'd be a very few words. I just want to say thank you to Supervisor Cheryl for reappointing me. I know you've been very, very busy in your new role, and It's much appreciated that you were able to take the time to meet with me one-on-one and for me to express some of my concerns for the district and for the city. I am, although my priorities are with D2, I am so concerned about how transportation issues are integrated to the rest of the city, and there are so many issues that not only affect our district, but the city as a whole. And I know something dear to your heart is community engagement, and that's a particular concern of mine as well in getting major projects done, transportation projects. I think there's been in the past a lack of community engagement, and I want to do everything I can to support that being addressed more clearly in the future. There are other issues around autonomous vehicles and education, particularly for e-bike and battery-powered alternative vehicles. And they all, they're all integrated into the city as a whole. So I'm hopeful to get started again and look forward to serving on the CAC again. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Levine, for your service, and thank you for being willing to do it again. We've had a public comment on this item, Madam Clerk, so let's take a roll on this item, please. Sure. Oh.
Okay. Commissioner Chan?
Aye.
Chan, aye. Commissioner Chen?
Aye.
Chen, aye. Commissioner Dorsey?
Hang on. I think we need to make, someone needs to make a motion first.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'd like to move to reappoint Mr. Levine to be the D2 representative on the Citizens Advisory Committee.
Thank you, Commissioner Sheriff. May I have a second? Seconded by Chan.
Commissioner Chan?
Aye.
Chan, aye. Commissioner Chen?
Aye.
Chen, aye. Commissioner Dorsey?
Aye.
Dorsey, aye. Commissioner Ingardio?
Aye.
Ingardio, aye. Commissioner Fielder?
Aye.
Fielder, aye. Commissioner Mahmood?
Aye.
Mahmood, aye. Commissioner Mandelman?
Aye.
Mandelman, aye. Chair Melgar?
Aye.
Melgar, aye. Vice Chair Sauter?
Aye.
Sauter, aye. Commissioner Sherrill?
Aye.
Sherrill, aye. Commissioner Walton?
Aye.
Walton, aye. There are 11 ayes. This motion is approved.
Thank you so much. Let's go to item number 5, please.
Item 5, allocate $5,284,000 in Prop L funds with conditions for 5 requests. This is an action item.
Thank you so much, Madam Clerk. We have Anna LaForte here, Deputy Director for Policy and Programming. Welcome, Ms. LaForte.
Good morning, commissioners. Nice to see you, Anna LaForte. And SFGTV, we have a presentation to share with the public. Thank you so much. Okay, so the first of these 5 requests from the Prop L sales tax program is from the Caltrain system, and this is for predictive arrival and departure system upgrades, and this would be to replace this current system with an industry standard solution for train arrival and departure predictions. It would integrate the electric multiple units into the system to process the vehicle locations and display the train predictions on all station signage, like the variable message signs, and also on the Caltrain website and other third-party apps like Google Maps. As a reminder, the sales tax has been funding the City and County of San Francisco's local match contribution to Caltrain's capital budget since the passage of Prop K. And overall, Prop L funds are providing this and for various different projects on a per year basis. The next request is from SFMTA, and this is for bike facility maintenance around the city. This is to maintain the bike facilities to preserve their safety features and to keep them in a state of good repair. So this is to restripe the existing facilities like the green bike lanes and the bike boxes that you see on your screen in the photo, and also replacing traffic delineators like the safe hit posts and also the buffers that protect cyclists in the bike lanes from traffic. The locations are identified by MTA staff and public feedback, and so for members of the public watching at home, you can request this maintenance through the 311 system. SFMTA does not have a backlog of requests at this backlog of locations at this time, but continually is responding to public requests as they come in as soon as possible. Next request is from Public Works, and this is for installing curb ramps at locations that have sub-sidewalk basements at six different intersections in the city. These are in districts 3 and 5. The locations are identified through public requests and inspections in the field. Also, three of these locations have been identified by SFMTA as candidates for conversion from the current painted safety zones to the permanent concrete infrastructure as proposed. The next two requests are from the Prop L Neighborhood Program. And the first request is a District 8 Neighborhood Program project for DuBose Triangle Slow Street Study. And this would be to assess it converting existing shared lane bikeways on Sanchez and Steiner into slow streets and exploring corresponding traffic circulation changes that would go along with doing that. This would have public outreach as part of the project, and a final report would be presented to the Transportation Authority Board for approval around this time next year. And the last request, and the second of the neighborhood program requests, is also from MTA. This is for two new traffic signals on Lincoln Way, one at 45th Avenue and one at La Playa Street. And this would be for the design phase of the project to enhance the traffic safety and improve the right-of-way allocation at these locations. The work involved has all of the necessary infrastructure with installation of a new traffic signal, so the mast arms, the signal heads, the countdown signals, and also related infrastructure, including curb ramps. And this is a way to also address some of the associated impacts with the upcoming closure to restrict vehicles on the Great Highway following the passage of Prop K in November of 2024. And the construction phase is slated to be funded by federal funds. And with that, I can take any questions, and we have project managers here as well.
Thank you, Ms. LaForte. Also, colleagues, we have staff here from Caltrain, MTA, and DPW in case anyone has any specific questions about these projects. Supervisor Mandelman.
Thank you, Chair Melgar. And I want to thank TA staff and MTA staff for all the work, in particular, on the DuBose Triangle study. I think I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be an opportunity to think through the triangle in a holistic sense rather than sort of one project by project, and I think it is needed. So thank you for being willing to take that on.
Thank you, Commissioner Mandelman. I also want to say thank you to TA staff, particularly for the speed with which you tackled the Lincoln light. That really helps. Thank you so much. With that, let's go to public comment, because it doesn't look like there's any more questions or comments from my colleagues.
There is no remote public comment.
Okay. With that, public comment is now closed. Colleagues, is there a motion to approve this item? By Mandelman, seconded by Walton. Madam Clerk, I think we can take this same house, same call. Okay. Same house, same call. The motion passes. Let's go to item number 6, please, Madam Clerk.
Item 6, approve the 2025 state and federal advocacy program. This is an action item.
We have Amber Crabb here, Senior Public Policy Manager, and we have Mark Watts, our Sacramento advocate, joining us remotely, as well as Martin Reyes. Welcome.
Great. Thank you, Chair and Commissioners. So every year we bring you our draft state and federal advocacy program, and this is guided, it's meant to guide our advocacy throughout the year and the positions that we bring to this body every month. So it's comprised of broad goals and strategies, generally focused this year on seeking, securing, and protecting funding for transportation. It's been developed in coordination with SFMTA, the Mayor's Office, and the Metropolitan Transportation Commission, or MTC, and others. So a major priority this year will be addressing the significant budget shortfalls that transit operators are facing across the region. And starting in 2026 in particular, when federal relief funding expires. So first of all, we'll continue to engage in state legislation to authorize the Metropolitan Transportation Commission to place a new transportation revenue measure on the regional ballot no earlier than 2026. So Senator Wiener and Aragin, as shown here, have introduced Senate Bill 63, which is an intent bill that is expected to eventually carry the final language. It'll focus on raising much-needed operating funding, in particular for Muni, BART, and Caltrain that have the highest deficits in the region. So MTC has recently completed polling, expected to be released this week, and we've invited them to come to the February 25th meeting to present the results. So another advocacy priority will be to maintain prior year state budget commitments of transit operating funding. So these funds were included in the governor's January budget, but the subsequent wildfires and everything happening at the federal level means that the May revise might look significantly different. So these prior year budget funds are important, but they are one time and meant to serve as bridge funds until local and regional funding can be approved for transit operations. So given the magnitude of future deficits, we see that there's no one revenue measure that is going to solve the problem. So a long-term solution will require local, regional, and state help. So for perspective, this graph shows the state share of transit operator budgets compared nationally in blue, statewide in red, with respect to Bay Area transit operators, and then lowest in green are for the Bay Area transit operators facing the largest operating deficits. So this shows for SFMTA and BART in particular, the last two columns, where, as shown in blue, the state contributes 18% and 5% of agencies' operating budget, respectively. So the Bay Area and Los Angeles transit operating budgets do include a lot of local and regional funding compared to other parts of the nation, and we're working to increase that. However, for transit to fully thrive moving forward, we do need the state to help out with a long-term solution. So another priority at the state level is seeking extension of the state's cap and trade program, which could represent either an opportunity for more bridge funding or for a long-term transit commitment. So by way of context, the cap and trade program auctions permits to greenhouse gas emitters in the state and then invests the funding in projects that reduce greenhouse gas emissions. So over the last 3 years, it has raised between $4 and $5 billion annually. The program currently expires in 2030, and extension is necessary now in part to shore up the state's transit capital program, which is out of funding starting this year. So in the past, they've extended 10-year expenditure programs. This year, we're hoping to see a 20 or 30-year extension, and also authorization for the state to bond against that in order to make funding available in the near term. Another priority is going to be seeking state funding to secure the funding commitment to the portal. To maintain the current project schedule, it's really important that the projects start pinning down the final committed funding plan, which includes $1 billion in state revenue. So we're pursuing a range of different options at the state level, but any option is likely going to include the extension of the cap and trade program. And then finally, we'll be continuing prior year efforts to ensure that AVs or autonomous vehicles are deployed in a way that balances their benefits and their impacts, in particular focusing on increasing safety, transparency, and accountability. So at the federal level, it's become very clear the focus is going to be on protecting funding for San Francisco. We're working with our federal advocates as well as the city attorney's office to evaluate potential impacts, but it's clear that it's going to be millions of dollars. So we'll continue to keep you updated in our monthly updates. Finally, talks have already begun on reauthorization of the current federal transportation bill, which expires in 2026. So we'll be working to develop a San Francisco strategy for that. And then similar to the state level, we'll be looking at policy development regarding autonomous vehicles, in particular focusing on ensuring that states and local governments aren't preempted from regulating these new technologies. So with that, it's an action item, and I'm happy to take any questions, as is Mark Watts, our state advocate, who is available remotely, and Martin Reyes, who is our principal planner in the room.
Okay, Commissioner Walton.
Thank you so much, Chair Melgar, and thank you so much. I know that you showed some of the plans that the legislature has for funding options and opportunities, but what are state leaders, what's their attitude, what are they saying when they see the data about the fact that they're underfunding transportation here in California?
Yeah, I think the information that I showed is just recently put together by SPUR and the Metropolitan Transportation Commission. My understanding is that they're evaluating it. I'm not sure. I haven't heard a response from them yet, but I think there is a recognition by our legislators that there is a need for the state to provide, at a minimum, short-term bridge funding from especially the Bay Area delegation.
We should be embarrassed. Thank you.
I agree. Thank you, Commissioner Walton. I do have a question in your presentation, and thank you so much. That was really good and thorough. You mentioned about the reluctance of some of the counties in our region to engage in a regional solution. Can you talk about that a little bit more?
I think MTC, well, actually, I'll turn it over to Martin Reyes, who's been participating in that process. Yeah.
Hello, Mr. Reyes.
Good morning, Commissioners. Martin Reyes, Principal Transportation Planner. I'm also the lead staff for the regional measure here at the TA. So there have been a couple of tries at introducing a regional measure for the Bay Area. This year, the latest attempt is Senate Bill 63, as Amber mentioned. This time around, Santa Clara, for example, has decided that they would like to, instead of participating in a regional measure, contribute to transit agency shortfalls through a reauthorization of one of their own local sales taxes. So they've committed that they would contribute to BART and Caltrain by reauthorizing one of their existing local sales taxes. In 2023 and 2024, Santa Clara was a part of discussions to participate in the regional measure, but once a bill actually got introduced, that was Senate Bill 1031 last year, through conversations with the legislature, there was a lot of pushback from Santa Clara, and so this time around, Santa Clara has decided that they sort of want to chart their own destiny. San Mateo is another county that has a lot to contribute for the transit fiscal shortfalls. They are very open to participating in contributing to the shortfalls in some way. I think there are just a number of issues that they would like to see resolved before they do that. One issue is the level of the funding fair share contribution that they owe to BART. I think there's some disagreement between BART and San Mateo and other partners about exactly how much San Mateo does owe to BART operations, considering they are not part of the district. So I would say Santa Clara and San Mateo are sort of the biggest players in that conversation about which counties should be part of the regional measure or not.
Okay, thank you very much, Mr. Reyes. I appreciate that analysis. Seeing no other comments or questions from other commissioners, Madam Clerk, let's go to public comment on this item.
Checking for public comment. We have one remote caller. Hi, caller, your 2 minutes begins now.
Good morning, thank you so much. In looking at everything that has just been shared, I just want to express as a member of the public that we really should be focused on stabilizing our transit before we focus on any kind of capital projects or any kind of capital investments at this stage. Uni needs significant help, and that's what the focus should be. I also really urge that that reality is taken into account. Muni ridership was down prior to the pandemic from 2014 to 2019. It was declining. That's due in large part to things like Uber and Lyft. That really, really, really needs to be accounted for in all of the work that is being discussed right now, because I don't think that reality is coming into the picture at all. And that will only cause more and more strain on the budget and distress for all of us residents. Thank you.
Thank you, caller. There is no additional public comment.
Okay. Thank you so much. There's no public comment here in the chambers. Colleagues, may I have a motion to approve this item? Motion by Sauter, seconded by Dorsey. Madam Clerk, I think we can take the same house, same call. Okay, here we go. Same house, same call. Thank you. The motion passes. Let's go to item number 7, please.
Item 7, adopt fiscal year 2025-26 Transportation Fund for Clean Air Local Expenditure Criteria. This is an action item.
We have Mr. Mike Pickford here, Principal Transportation Planner. Thank you for being here. Go ahead.
Good morning. So the Transportation Fund for Clean Air is a grant program for projects that reduce motor vehicle emissions beyond any current requirements to improve air quality. Revenue comes from a $4 surcharge on motor vehicle registrations throughout the Bay Area, which totals about $22 million for the region. 60% of the TFCA funds go directly to the Air District, which uses them for regional grant programs, including shuttles and EV chargers. 40% of the TFCA funds are distributed to county-level programs, with the Transportation Authority administering the program here in San Francisco. We program these funds through an annual call for projects, and we help sponsors pursue those regional funds as well. For this year, we expect to have about $650,000 available for eligible projects. The Air District establishes eligible project types, among other requirements, and counties must adopt local expenditure criteria every year to guide the selection of our local projects, which is what we're discussing here today. The Air District's requirements include strict cost effectiveness thresholds that each project must meet. And within these constraints, we're typically able to fund 3 to 5 projects a year. And we're generally able to fund most of the projects that meet those eligibility requirements. In past years, we've funded a range of projects, including bike parking, shuttles to transit hubs, low emissions vehicles, EV chargers, and even building a Clipper transit pass into SF State's student ID card. For this year, we are not recommending any changes to our local expenditure criteria versus the last couple of years. The criteria include prioritization by project type, with zero emissions non-vehicle projects as the top priority. That includes things like bike facilities, followed by shuttle services, and then vehicle projects. Our local criteria also prioritize cost-effective emissions reductions and require consideration of project readiness, program diversity, and past delivery track record, as well as demonstrated community support, like being recommended in a community-based transportation plan, and benefits to equity priority communities, whether a project is located in that community or just demonstrate benefits to the community. Since non-public entities can apply for TFCA grants for specifically for the alternative fuel vehicle and infrastructure projects, the criteria give priority to those projects that include investment from that non-public entity that's commensurate to the requested TFCA funds to make sure the public is getting a good value. Once the local expenditure criteria are adopted, we will release a TFCA call for projects by early March. And after reviewing and evaluating project proposals, we will present our staff recommendation back to the board in June. With that, I'm happy to take any questions.
Thank you so much, Mr. Pickford. Are there any questions or comments from commissioners? So seeing none, let's go to public comment on this item, please.
Checking for remote public comment. There is no public comment.
Okay, public comment on this item is now closed. Is there a motion to approve this item? Oh, it's just information. Yeah. I'm sorry.
It is an action item.
Yes, it's moved by Mahmoud, seconded by Walton. Thank you so much. Can we have same house, same call, Madam Clerk?
Yes.
Same house, same call. Okay, let's go to item number 8, please.
Item 8 is listed as the SFMTA bike and roll plan update, but as a non-substantive clarification for the record, the title for item 8 should be the San Francisco Biking and Rolling Plan Update. This is an information item.
Thank you. Okay, this is information. Madam Maya Small is here. Thank you so much for making this presentation. We also have Christy Osorio here, transportation planner.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning, Chair Melgar and commissioners. Very happy to be here. Maya Small, planning director at SFMTA. And I'm just going to be here to introduce the team. Christy Osorio, who's the project manager, Ben Frazier, who's been working on the plan, also supports our Safe Routes to Schools program, and John Knox White, who's one of the managers supporting the project. So I just want to set a little bit the frame, because I know you're used to looking at individual projects and working with MTA on a lot of operational issues. This is a long-range plan. The biking and rolling plan is the update to the bike plan that was done about 15 years ago. And it's going to establish the next generation of policies, programs, and set up projects. And it offers a North Star that will help us towards a safe and connected network of bikeways for all ages and abilities. We are at this point where we're headed toward an approval. We also want to thank you so much for the support and the grant support that we had through Prop K over about 3 years ago, which ended up really helping to support with our Caltrans grant this work and endeavor, and it's been quite a process. So it's not just about what we're coming forward with approval and the plan itself, but it's really been about a kind of transformational experience of working with people across San Francisco and how we are doing this work. So I just want to elevate a few key pieces around how that has actually come to pass over the last 3 years. The first thing is that this plan is about belonging. People who bike and roll belong in San Francisco, and we see you, and we have seen you in this process. We see caregivers hustling kids and running errands. We see young people of color building community on bikes, scooters, and skateboards. We see people in power chairs, where this is their primary mobility. We see folks who are unhoused, who are very at risk on bicycles, on sidewalks. You are all the center of this plan, and we are really looking at how we can serve local needs, and including things like trip chaining, which is more burdened by women of color and women. And also very much focused on school access, which is something you all asked us for in 2023. This plan is about inclusion. This is for everyone. Even if you don't plan to bike and roll, we found that 80% of people right now are either biking and rolling every week or want to if it was a safe and connected network. But 20% of people are not interested in participating in the network, yet this plan still serves them. Drivers and transit riders rely on us really knowing how all the different transportation modes work together. So this will be better for everyone to have more certainty, and especially knowing what MTA is working towards. We also heard merchants. We heard you. We understand that this has been a really stressful time, especially over the last 5 to 10 years. We really want to make sure that we're planning ahead and collaborating openly. This plan is also deeply at its core about repair. The plan is centered on those, especially in our communities of color, who have suffered exclusion and harm in transportation planning of the past, especially in places where there's been government action, where folks felt paved over or disconnected in the fabric that actually used to be very walkable and used to support biking. We've heard from many of these communities, biking was part of their history. Housing displacement has further disconnected many of these folks and further emphasized car dependency. So that means the only way to reintroduce biking to many of these communities is through community-led decision-making, resources, and readiness. The plan structure includes partnerships with 5 organizations in 6 equity priority communities, with folks leading their own community action plans. And then finally, before I hand it over, the plan really changes how we frame our commitments and accountability, especially as SFMTA. Instead of promising to build things by a specific date, which is a very difficult challenge right now, we have technical challenges in our city. We have a very hilly city. We have a lot of driveways. We have a city that was really redesigned around the automobile. We're going to be working through those challenges. We also have resource challenges and staff capacity challenges. But we're going to be transparent about what we're doing, why, and what is realistic to expect. The last generation of bikeway projects has been very successful. We have our quick build program that's evolved since then. We've done so much to make it so much better. A lot of those were low-hanging fruit. Those were easier projects to do in a lot of ways. The next generation is going to be a little bit harder. We really need to be kind of stepping up and organizing that work to make sure that it's we're hitting all of those priority gap closures and school access pieces that we need to be doing. So the next generation is going to face new challenges. And then I want to really emphasize, because this is so present for everyone right now, we know in the conversation around MTA's budget, while capital bikeway projects, they do not compete with Muni funding. Our projects come from primarily from grants and things that are organized specifically for bikeways or active transportation, just as all of our planning money came from these sources. These are going to be harder and harder to compete for. We don't know exactly what grant funding will be available. Having a plan, having the city organized around some decision-making on priorities will really help us in the future meet the needs of this North Star network. And with that, I will hand it over to Christy Osorio.
Thanks, Maya. Good morning, commissioners. My name is Christy Osorio. I'm the project manager on the Biking and Rolling Plan. So our biking and rolling plan really envisions a safe and connected network for generations to come. It's aligned with a lot of our city policies, including SFMTA's Transit First policy, the city's Vision Zero policy, our climate action plan, the city's general plan, and the city's Better Streets policy. It sees biking as an integral part of our transportation system. And lastly, it really offers clarity to where we're heading with transportation. There are five main goals of the plan, and in just a moment, I'll hand it over to my colleague, Ben Frazier, to speak more on goal one. But goal one is about putting people first, especially about repairing past harms in communities that have experienced displacement through redlining and redevelopment. Next is to set a North Star. North Stars are lofty, aspirational goals that get us aligned in the same direction. The Biking and Rolling Plan's North Star is a safe and connected network within a quarter mile to everyone for all ages and abilities. Third, we want to serve local needs. We're focused on shorter trips. Over the pandemic, we saw different patterns in the way that people are moving around the city. People are moving within their neighborhoods a lot more. And with that, we also understand that local communities are vulnerable to construction on their streets. Next, we want to be delivering the plan and be accountable to what we've committed to communities around delivering our North Star. So this is a living document where we'll be checking in every 2 years and to check in on our community action plans. In that way too, it won't be another 15 years before we update our bike plan. And lastly, we want to resource people. We know that the things in the ground are just a part of biking and rolling. Biking and rolling also needs to build our social infrastructure, which includes education, accessibility, affordability, bike parking, and just bike share, to name a few. So with that very high-level overview, I'm going to hand it over to my colleague, Ben Frazier, to speak on how we put people first in the plan.
Thank you so much, Christy, and good morning to all of you. Ben Frazier, transportation planner with the SFMTA and program coordinator of the San Francisco Safer to School program. So jumping straight in, when we set out to start the community-driven process, for the community-driven planning process for the bike and enrolling plan, one of the most important things that we as an agency and we as a city wanted to acknowledge was how prior planning and development projects have caused harm to many of the city's communities, whether it be the impacts of redlining, limiting where people of color could buy property, redevelopment projects done in the name of blight or beautification, or projects focusing on improving movements into or out of downtown at the expense of certain neighborhoods like the Fillmore and Soma. These communities were excluded from being a part of these decisions and are still feeling the impacts of them. For the Biking and Rolling Plan, we intentionally set out to have a community-driven process where those voices would be heard and we could craft a plan together with them that would understand and represent their needs and desires. So to do that, we worked with five community-based organizations in 6 neighborhoods to create community action plans. We worked with the New Community Leadership Foundation in the Fillmore and Western Addition, the Tenderloin Community Benefit District in the Tenderloin, Soma Filipinas in Soma, Poder in the Mission and the Excelsior, and Bayview Hunters Point Community Advocates in the Bayview. Executive summaries of each group's community action plan is included within the plan document, and the full plans are included as an appendix. These plans were written by the community organizations and contain important neighborhood historical context and also list out the priorities for infrastructure, policies, and programs. Many of these recommendations will require support from other city departments in addition to SFMTA, like planning and public works, and these are conversations that we have already started to have with them and are developing plans to work with them and the mayor's office in the future to bring some of these multi-department recs to life. In many of these communities, biking and rolling may not be their top transportation priority. More foundational items, like fixing sidewalks or fighting gentrification, are their top priorities. The plan also lays out a process for how city agencies can work with them while advancing projects and determining when the community is ready. So, for example, if we take a little bit of closer look at the Soma plan, some of the highlights of Soma's community action plan include top priorities for working towards keeping bikes and scooters off of the sidewalks, prioritizing that space for people walking, particularly senior citizens. Other priorities include working to make sure that there are cultural placemaking is included in projects wherever possible, and they also have a lot of suggested changes for how the city operates bike share and scooter share and how those changes could be implemented in future contracts. And their overarching priority was pedestrian safety. And then taking a different step, kind of looking at all the community action plans as a whole, there were several components that were connected across all of the plans. Some of those included, again, like I said with Soma, pedestrian safety was a big factor in pretty much all of the plans to some extent, whether it was missing sidewalks or trying to keep the sidewalks prioritized for people walking or people using mobility devices. That was a consistent theme throughout all of the plans. Increasing muni service and making sure it is reliable and consistent was another theme that we heard. And also that future planning efforts should be true multimodal planning efforts and not just focus on one particular mode, because we know it's hard to kind of plan and think about things like just bikes or just walking or just cars. They need to be looked at together. And similarly, when we look at even at transportation does not happen in a vacuum. So we need to be cognizant of some of the other concerns, whether that be development or enforcement or any of the other things that relate to transportation. And I will close with this. Rebuilding trust that these communities have lost with the city is a very slow process, and that process can only be achieved by our actions, not just words. These community action plans, we believe, lay the foundation of how these communities want us to act. And while in the short term, change and progress might be slow for any number of reasons, to continue the hard work of slowly rebuilding that trust, we as a city and as an agency should be striving towards working towards implementing these action plans. They may not be complete overnight, but if we continue that slow progression, we can start to get them implemented and slowly start to continue to rebuild that trust. And now I'll hand it back over to Christy.
Thank you, Mr. Frazier.
Thanks, Ben. In addition to working with the equity priority communities, we also spoke to a lot of other community neighborhood groups over the last 2 years. In all, we received over 1,000 survey responses to our questions. We did over 200 outreach events, if that were one-on-one meetings, presentations, neighborhood discussions. Over the summer of 2024, we also put on citywide open houses where we had over 500 participants and over 950 written comments received at the open houses. And what we heard really set the tone and the foundation for the biking and rolling plan. So as Maya mentioned earlier, over the last 14 years, the network has really become significantly safer with our Quick Build program. And with separation, we found that ridership on Quick Builds increase 27% every time we build them. And from our own citywide resident preference survey, we learned that 29% of people in San Francisco already bike or roll every week for errands, recreation, short trips, and commutes. And what we heard is that more people would bike and roll if they felt safe enough to do it. And what would make them feel safer enough to do it is more separation or slower car speeds on streets where they're shared. And so as we look ahead for what qualifies as safe, we're using a national standard by the National Association of City Transportation Officials, also known as All Ages and Abilities. All Ages and Abilities sets criteria for facility types based on car speeds, volumes, vehicle lanes, and other operational uses. So for example, a roadway with 20 miles an hour and a motor vehicle volume of up to 2,000 cars per day with a single lane road and 50 cars at peak hour could see a shared roadway or a bicycle boulevard. And when you look at our network today, really only 8% of that, our current bike network, meets these standards. And with that 8%, we know that there's a lot of gaps. And we also know that over half of our K through 12 schools are further than a quarter mile away from the bikeway network that's designed for all ages and abilities. As we mentioned earlier, there's also more to bikeways than the street infrastructure. We also have quick builds, streetscape projects, slow streets. We do design review with developments, spot improvements, bike share, bike parking. So we'll be looking at developing all of these programs. And lastly, a key component of the plan is our North Star, which tells us which streets we're thinking of bikeways and the types of facilities that we are generally thinking about. You'll notice on our North Star, we've outlined the areas where we're working with our equity priority community partners. And the red boxes are really meant to point to the community action plans as a starting point for what the community is prioritizing. And at our last MTA board hearing, we also presented a decision-making framework for how and when projects are going to be implemented, their safety, technical feasibility, resources, and community readiness. So for projects that will be identified for safety, we'll be closing gaps and making upgrades on the network. We'll also check in on its technical feasibility, evaluating if a project can be implemented, giving constraints and resources. Resources also includes funding, which means staff capacity, but also our economic forecast. And lastly, we present the idea of community readiness, which is really defined about how well SFMTA has engaged with community groups for bringing projects forward. And I do want to note that community in this context includes neighbors, but it also includes the city leaders and the Board of Supervisors and the projects that they ask us to prioritize. So staff will be bringing forward projects that meet all of these criteria. And then just to recap, we started this process in January of 2023. We'll be seeking plan adoption soon. To develop our plan, we did a combination of both outreach and analysis. And we I'll just close that we're seeking plan adoption. The main components of the plan will be our community action plans, policies, programs, and the network. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Osorio. We do have comments and questions from commissioners. We will start with Commissioner Dorsey.
Thank you, Chair Melgar. First, I just want to express my gratitude. I represent a district that you've just done a really great job in terms of making bicycling safer. It is my honestly, I could get across my district on bike share quicker than any other mode of transportation. And having lived there for a long time, I really do see the improvements. I also appreciate the level of engagement that you've had with the Soma Pilipinas. And just, I think this is, my sense of the work that you're doing is that it's very well received and well regarded. So I just want to express my gratitude for that. I had a question about the climate action plan, because there's a reference in there that we're 5 years away from a really ambitious goal of, I think, 80% of trips to be low carbon modes. How granular are we in terms of being able to say this many bike share, this many scooters, this many private bikes? Are we working with the Department of Environment on that?
I think, yeah, I'll pass it to Maya Small to
answer
that question.
This is a great question because we're right at the point where we're going to be doing an update to the Climate Action Plan. And I think that that has been something that has been a challenge because we may not have enough CEQA to cover actual actions in the plan, which I'm hoping we can make it as substantial and specific as possible. In terms of are we meeting our goals, I think that we need to see, in fact, I know that the SFCTA has been working on travel diary and learning more about how our mode split really, what the shares really are and more detail about that. Some of our previous data has been more survey data in which we had this kind of very vague sense of what active transportation was. We didn't have enough information. So I would say that we're about to learn a lot more and we'll kind of see where we are. And I look forward to sharing that with our colleagues across agencies to learn exactly what we're meeting and what we're not meeting. My guess is, I mean, through the biking and rolling plan and talking to people, we see a very substantial increase. We see especially around e-bike usage, right? I think that has been really kind of a revolution in the last few years. We think that e-bike delivery, that's something that SFE's been studying, that they've been sort of piloting and seeing like what they can learn from that. I think that is going to grow substantially as well. And if we start getting into the commercial space along with residents and commuters and everything, I think we're going to start to see a real shift. But I don't have anything specifically about that, but we're at a great point to learn more because we're about to do this update. Yeah.
In December, the Chronicle did a really interesting data analysis of bike share usage.
Yes.
And I think we set a new record.
Yes.
As of October, it was so bike share is increasing dramatically.
E-bikes, I think, have been added into the stations and the hubs, and we think that that's one of the reasons why.
Yeah. Having been in this building and seen bicycle politics for a long time, one of the things I always believed about bike share. I will always be convinced that bike share changed the political calculus to invest more people in bike lanes and getting people out of their cars. I remember 20 years ago, it was bikes versus cars. And now when lowering the barrier to using a bike, you don't have to own one, you can share it. It just feels to me like it has turned down the political temperature. One of the other things that I thought was interesting from the Chronicle's analysis was they saw that usage really mapped to bike lanes and protected lanes and things. So to me, it's something that we should really be, as we're moving toward these really aggressive goals, it felt to me like the Chronicle did a great job of analyzing data to make the case for why we need to be investing more in bike infrastructure. But great job. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Commissioner Dorsey. Commissioner Sauter. Oh, I'm sorry, Commissioner Walton. I'm so sorry.
No worries. Thank you, Chair Milgar. I do have some outreach questions. Was there any door-to-door outreach conducted?
There was door-to-door outreach in 2023 through the summer of 2024.
And where? Was that in public housing communities, low-income communities?
That's right. Our community partners, Bayview Hunters Point Community Advocates, led on that effort. We did lots of door-to-door outreach at public housing.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Commissioner Walton. Now, Commissioner Sauter.
Thank you. I want to appreciate all the work put into this. I know it's been a long road to get here. I also, at the same time, am eager for what's next because, of course, we've seen plans before, and we know that they don't always translate to action on the ground. And this is coming from someone representing a district that's been largely left out of the progress that's been made citywide on this over the last 20 years. So, I'm eager to work with you and the rest of the team to change that. Given that, you know, I have questions around what comes next year. How do we start to take these lines on a map and translate them to action on the ground? How do we prioritize these different projects? So I'd love to hear a little bit about what comes next in that. Also, given that in District 3, I think we have three different zones here that are designated as community action planning to come, I'd love to hear about that timeline and how that engagement will roll out.
Yeah, I had a brief slide on this, but we present certain criteria around safety, technical feasibility, resources, and community readiness for how projects will be prioritized. At the top of that list are projects identified by our equity priority communities. Based on the projects that they identify and the staff resources and technical feasibility we have, those will rise to the top, and we'll sort of use this as our North Star for identifying next projects after that. One of the, we also circled some areas in District 3, namely Columbus Avenue, Chinatown. In a lot of our process, and we heard from community groups that there were a lot more complexities that really a citywide biking and rolling plan process could integrate. So we've committed to different communities to returning to do a more engaged study. In Chinatown, there are conversations starting around a Chinatown community-based transportation plan. That effort actually came out of our conversations talking about biking and rolling. From what we heard there is biking and rolling is not comprehensive of all of the transportation issues that they'd like to talk about. So we said, thank you, we'll come back and talk about that. Similarly, on Columbus Avenue, also speaking to a lot of different community groups, right? There's a lot more needed around curb management. Thinking about, there's a trolley that goes right down Columbus, right? So it's important for us to be able to give that the amount of resources and time needed. So that's why we've identified those projects as further study.
Okay, Commissioner Mahmood.
Thank you for the presentation, and excited to see this moving forward. I had a question about, you alluded to Vision Zero and the importance of that. And I noticed some policies around reducing traffic collisions. This is probably a bigger picture question, but obviously we didn't meet our Vision Zero goals. From your assessment, so we have some new policy recommendations. What was missing for the last 10 years? And then second, are there any projections about how this biking rolling plan or this framework, what metrics can we hit to actually ensure, do you have any projections of what we might be hitting towards Vision Zero going forward? How much reduction in traffic fatalities this might result in?
I think to respond around Vision Zero itself, we may need to just ask Vision Zero staff to come speak on that. But one of the things that we know from Vision Zero is that when we install quick builds, ridership is increased. In 2023, we had zero bicycle fatalities on San Francisco streets. And we attribute a lot of that to a lot of the separation that we've built through the quick build program. So those are the types of metrics, knowing that we are improving biking and rolling safety for users are ways to improve safety overall.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Mahmood. Thank you so much, Ms. Osorio. I do have a couple comments, and one is that I want to say thank you for putting in so much work and thoughtfulness in speaking to such a wide variety of partners. I am really glad you spoke to PTAs and parents and kids groups. That's really phenomenal. I like the North Star map. I do wish it went further, especially in terms of Southwest Northeast connections, because that is, it's a hilly city, but e-bikes have revolutionized everything. And as Commissioner Dorsey commented, the bike share expansion that we've done all over the city has really changed the pattern. So I wish we kept up with it some more, because it is important to our climate action goals. I also think that the southeast connections could be better, and some of that is due to historical harms that have been done, but we do have a lot of people that go in between District 4, 7, and 10, and 11, and so it's really important that we pay attention to those things. But I wanted to ask specifically about the program part of this. One of the things that I insisted, a couple years ago in my conversations with your team and with Ms. Small is to pay attention to schools. So, in District 7, we don't have a lot of, priority equity communities, but we have a lot of institutions that serve vulnerable people. We have the Pomeroy Center, and we have San Francisco State, City College, in between District 7 and 4, we have a lot of young people at middle schools and high schools. And so I wanted to make sure that they can get to school safely. Biking is an ideal way for middle schoolers and high schoolers to get around. And I'm glad we paid attention to connections, but we also have the Safe Routes to School program. And, you know, I would really like that program to step up in terms of connecting to this new vision, this new North Star in our goals, collective goals for it. So rather than having, you know, like an event or episodes, how do we get that program to support regular commuting to school in a certain way and to have folks understand sort of the new safety aspect of it, the connectedness of it, and, you know, educate both kids and parents around this. So I'm really interested in the programmatic part of this.
Yeah, thank you for that, and thank you for passing that resolution in 2024.
Yeah.
Our agency is committed to also connecting schools to the network, and so I think we're planning on returning with a more comprehensive plan to present to the TA for implementation when we get to that point.
Okay, great. Look forward to it. Thank you so much. Okay, with that, there's no more comments or questions from my colleagues. Let's go to public comment on this item, please, Madam Clerk.
Going to our first caller. Hi, caller, your 2 minutes begins now.
Good morning, commissioners. My name is Claire Mobley, Director of Advocacy at the San Francisco Bicycle Coalition. Apologies for not being there in person. I'm sick at home, sparing you all from my illness. First, I'd like to thank the TA for helping fund the biking and rolling plan. Passing the plan is instrumental to how people will move around our city in the next 20 years. And with the transit fiscal cliff looming over the horizon and the need to build 82,000 housing units in the next 10 years, it is imperative that we simultaneously make investments towards active transportation while solving the agency's fiscal deficit. People need sustainable transportation options, including safe and convenient access to biking and rolling, to achieve the city's longstanding goal of reducing car dependency. Currently, about 229,000 San Franciscans bike or roll regularly in our city, while 80% of residents said in that MTA survey that they want to but don't feel safe enough to try. We need a plan that will give that feeling of safety to all of those people. We are so excited to see our recommendations of slow school zones implemented in the first 2 years and a base grid of crosstown routes for all ages and abilities. We want the plan approved, but the lack of timelines and goals strips the plan of accountability and saps it of urgency that can focus the will of the agency and city leaders. Commissioners, this plan is the result of nearly 3 years of work. The community action plans represent a new model of engagement for the agency and a renewed commitment to repair harm in communities who have been historically excluded from planning processes. It is a statement of values and a roadmap to bringing those values to life on our streets. This plan must represent the floor, not the ceiling. Passing it is the first step. The most important and challenging part will be implementing it. And to do that, we need your leadership. We are calling on each of you to vocally support this plan as it moves to approval and then support the SFMTA in quickly beginning implementation in your districts. Thank you so much for your time, and thank you to the MTA staff who are there today.
Thank you, caller. Going to the next caller. Hi, caller, your 2 minutes begins now.
Thank you. I'd like to remind this governing body that it is your duty to manage the reality of San Francisco's streets versus lofty and often unrealistic visions for the future. To even be talking about many of these projects, and I understand it's a future-looking plan, but to even be discussing a lot of this, given the massive deficits you're facing, the fact that you're threatening muni service cuts, and the fact that we are expending massive amounts of dollars on things that affect a fraction of the population. I'm not talking about your statistics, I'm talking about the actual statistics. It's simply irresponsible. You have a duty as the governing board of this city and in your positions on the SFCTA to be fiscally responsible. So let's talk about Vision Zero. $750 million and a decade later, and we have the same number of deaths. kudos to you for shrinking bicycle deaths, but the only indication you can actually take from those two statistics together is that you, in fact, increased deaths in other modalities with what you've done to our streets. So, given the fact that voters have shot down your bonds twice in a row, and you're not likely to get a third one, and let me add, we're probably looking at losing federal funding because of the Cheeto, you might want to reprioritize a bit and do something responsible for a change. You want to hang on to this little 250-page pipe dream that's probably never going to happen? Go ahead. In the meantime, people are dying on our streets, and it's probably because of the garbage projects you're putting in.
Thank you, caller. Moving on to the next caller. Hi, caller. Your 2 minutes begins now.
Hi, I just wanted to jump in and say that this plan has no budget attached to it. So for it to be voted on as a policy of the city is not appropriate. It's just not, it can't be done at this point. Biking has remained constant over the last decade, according to SFMTA's website, 2 to 3%. Of the city is biking. I think it's fantastic that more people are using bike share. I think it's fantastic when more people bike. But San Francisco already has over 500 miles of safe, bikeable paths, lanes, streets. I mean, Market Street is fully closed right now. That's a very safe place for bikes, and yet that's not even included in the biking and rolling plans analysis of how much safe biking lanes or safe biking spaces that there are. So I think this plan is completely flawed. I have gone to some of the meetings. It has been presented to the public as this squishy, we're just talking about ideas right now. So they've checked their public meetings, ticked those boxes without actually sharing what the cost-benefit analysis is for the communities. And I think we've seen time and again that SFMTA has destroyed our commercial corridors. If we want to see an economic recovery in San Francisco, we really need to focus on the bigger picture and not just this one pet project. And this 80% who said they would bike more if they felt safe, I really, really want to see that survey, and I really would like to know how scientifically valid it is.
Thank you for your comment, caller.
Yeah.
There is no additional public comment.
Okay, public comment on this item is now closed. Thank you so much to the MTA staff, and thank you, CTA staff, for funding the study and for all the work everyone has done on it. Madam Clerk, please call the next item.
Item 9, introduction of new items. This is an information item.
Okay, I don't see any introductions or comments from any of our commissioners. Let's go to the next item, please, Madam Clerk.
Item 10, public comment.
Checking for public comment. Hi, caller, your 2 minutes begins now.
Hello. I want to make sure I get this right. This is the Transportation Authority Board, right?
Yes.
So the idea of transportation is getting from point A to point B. So first question I have is, how did we get to work today, guys? Did we bike in, scooter in, park in the garage downstairs? Can we all stand up and showcase our clipper cards? Put it at ease. So it'd be good to have us all practice what we preach. So I think that's very, very important. Secondly, scooters. Scooters are everywhere. I was driving up 24th Street the other day, almost took a scooter out. Scooters believe that they should be, that every car, every person should yield to a scooter. So we need to really focus on scooter safety, scooter regulation, because they're hard to see, a lot harder than bikes. Thirdly, as I mentioned, leadership. The other week, I think Myrna Milgar was appointed leader or commissioner or president, whatever the hell, of this board. So no leadership, absolutely no leadership in our city. And we're still trying to connect with someone who actually has leadership that can actually work through regulations, boards, budgets, fentanyl crises, and all that good stuff. So in the meantime, let's transportate ourselves out of our city hall. We really, really need to get this straight. We really, really need to get leaders in our city.
Thank you, Qualler. There is no additional public comment.
Okay, with that, public comment on this item is closed. Madam Clerk, please call the next item.
Item 11, adjournment.
Okay, we're adjourned. Thank you.